Somebody just open in prayer for us and ask God to illuminate this word to us and put out the anointing on this word and quicken it.
Lord, we thank you for this privilege of being together tonight. We thank you for your love which surrounds us. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for being our Saviour, for being our healer.
Yes.
And for being everything that we can ever ask or think.
Amen.
We give you praise tonight, Father. Mm. We pray that you will speak to us tonight and open our eyes to the things of your word, Father.
Yeah.
And help our understanding. Open our ears. Open our minds to receive.
Mm.
And we give you praise and we give you thanks.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I was going through the bookcase the other day. And I just happened to drop on a little book that was old and tatty. And I thought, oh, what's this one? And I looked at it, and it's by Watchman Nee. And I know Ray's been mentioning him, and I know Christine has, and people have been blessed by him. And I don't know if anybody knows anything about Watchman Nee, but he died in 1972. He was Chinese. He was a graduate, and he had a real insight into the Word of God. And he wrote from 1952 to 1972. He was imprisoned in China for his faith. But his outlook on life never deterred his spirit. He reminds me of the Apostle Paul. When Paul was imprisoned, he wasn't a prisoner. He didn't say, "I am a prisoner of the Romans." He said, "I am a prisoner of Christ." He knew who was in charge of him. And he knew that the fact that he was there was God's destiny for him, not the Romans' destiny for him. So he could rest in that adverse situation. And this is very much Watchman's Knee's approach. And apparently, while in prison, he wrote many, many books. And that's why we're blessed today, because we're seeing the fruit of that. And this book must have been around a long time, because I think it was probably my father's or somebody else's, but they've enjoyed it and it's got tattered and worn. And I thought, it's only a little book, I'm going to read this. I only got through the first chapter, but some of the thoughts and insights there I'd like us to share today, because it's called Sit, Walk and Stand. And he's talking about, we've got to learn, when we become Christian, when we become born again, we need to learn to first sit. And until we can learn to sit, then we can't walk, and neither can we learn to stand. We have to learn to sit so that we know who we are in Christ and where we stand, where we are. It's a bit bad, isn't it, stand? We need to sit, know we are, where we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, before we can stand and witness and do the walk of the Christian. And before we can stand, which is the only thing we have to stand against, is the enemy. So we need to sit to know who we are, then we can learn to walk the Christian life, and then we can learn to stand against the enemy. So those three simple words, sit, walk and stand, I just thought it would be interesting to follow through. And it starts off with Ephesians 1. Verses 17 to 20. Would somebody like to read that for me, please? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 21.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come.
Praise God. Verse 20 is the significant verse here, because it said God raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So very clearly we see where Christ is sat. He sat down in the Father's presence at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 9. Can somebody read that? Verse 6, Ephesians 2, verse 6.
And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That's it. We are seated also in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Christ has been made to sit in the heavenlies, and we've been made to sit in the heavenlies. So we sat with him, far above all principality and power and dominion and everything that has a name. We are above it in Christ Jesus. He's seated above everything, and that's where we are. But so many of us have this natural thinking that if we're ever going to achieve anything, we've got to do something. That's the natural man's thinking. But the spiritual is quite the opposite. If you want to achieve anything in the spirit realm, we don't have to. If we try and do anything, we get nothing. Because in our own strength, we can't do it. We'll get nothing. And so he says that Christianity does not begin with a big do, but with a big done. It's done. Everything that we need has been done. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
What tense is it?
Past tense.
Nothing that we have to do. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that we need in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So here, from the start, we're invited to sit down and enjoy what God has done for us. There's no need to be begging him or pleading with him for anything. He's done it. It's finished. You can sit and enjoy what Christ has achieved, because it's yours by right. We didn't do anything to save ourselves. We just gave him our sin. And it's the same with everything else. The Christian life is an act of dependence, total dependence on Jesus Christ. Everything else falls short. We'll not receive the best. We'll not receive what we want to if we try and do it on any other level. We need to sit and we need to rest in him. It's interesting to note the position of sitting. What are you doing when you're sitting? Graham, what do you do when you sit?
You're quiet. You're listening, you're watching.
Yeah. What else do you do when you relax?
Mm-hmm.
You're relaxing. Because something outside of you is taking the weight. It's taking the strain. What am I doing here?
Relaxing in chair. Depending on chair.
What's taking the strain?
Chair.
The chair. And that's just how we need to be with Christ. We need to sit and relax. You know, was that advert, let the train take the strain. Let Christ take the strain. And we need to get our imaginations going. When we are faced with a challenge, and every new challenge will require us to experience a sitting down. Everything that comes against you, it's no good panicking. we need first to get ourselves in a place of rest. And it's resting in heavenly places with him, sitting down with him from a seat, from a position of authority and a position of it's done, it's finished. Because everything that faces, that challenges me, Christ has overcome it. He's faced it and he's overcome it for me.
I think that's what it means by being in his rest, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're just sitting there.
Entering his rest.
Everything's done.
It's done. It is done. Yeah.
Because Creflo was teaching on, in the law, it was all us doing things. Now it's God doing it all.
He's done it.
Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's past tense, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's done everything that we need to achieve. But we'll never achieve it. He don't want us to achieve it of ourselves. He wants us to walk in his achievement, in his victory, in his triumph. It's another interesting thought here, is that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the whole of creation was a 6-day process. And on the seventh day, what happened?
Rested.
God rested. It's interesting that Adam was brought forth and created on the sixth day, at the end of the sixth day. So the seventh day was Adam's first day, and the seventh day was God's rest day. It was the Sabbath rest of God. And Adam's first day began with the Sabbath rest. And that's really significant for me. Man was not involved in the creation. He was not involved in the creation process. He didn't have to do anything at creation. He was brought forth when God had set it all up and done the work. Man came in at the point of rest. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, restored that to us. And in Christ, we start at the point of rest. He is our Sabbath rest. He has achieved everything that needs to be achieved. And we can sit with him in heavenly places while he works for us. Many people, and it's especially in AOG circles, people used to say, I'm working for God. But actually, that's not a true statement. We don't. If we work for God, we're not going to achieve anything. God works for us. We need to say, I'm letting God work for me. We need to switch a few things round and get our mind settled on this fact that we can't achieve anything. We couldn't save ourselves from our sins. We couldn't deliver ourselves from our sin. We can no more deliver ourselves from sickness, or we can no more overcome poverty, and all the things that face us. We can never overcome our adversity in ourselves. Everything is what Christ has achieved and wants to do for us. But the only way he's ever going to do something for us is if when we learn to sit down and to rest. While ever we're striving and struggling with something, we're just not achieving it. We're not cutting it. It's not going to happen. He is our Sabbath rest, and he wants us to rest in his finished work. He wants to do everything for us. That's a strange concept, isn't it? Because we're so used to doing for ourselves. We're brought up with that mindset. That's the world's mindset. But it's not God's mindset. He wants to do everything for us. He's done everything for us. But he wants us to let him do whatever we're facing, whatever we're challenging and being challenged with. He wants us to let him deal with it. And I think probably Andrew has a good... although he struggles with some stuff, and we all do, and it's a process for getting into this way of doing and being. But I was thinking when Andrew says he goes and he jumps on Father's knee, I think that's a good thing too. When we've got a challenge, I think it's a good thing to go and imagine yourself jumping on Father's knee, snuggling up to him and hearing him say to you, now don't you worry, I'll sort it out. Because that's the type of thing Dad does, isn't it? I know when I was a kid, if there was stuff that I couldn't deal with, I knew if I went and asked my Dad, that he would help. And our Heavenly Father is no less willing, he's more willing. He doesn't even want us to have anything, the responsibility of it. He wants to take it from us and do it for us. And I think we need to see him more on that level than as what we can do. About our old man. The old man, it's interesting, is a past tense thing again. The Bible says we died to sin. That's past tense. This old man shouldn't trouble us because that old man is dead. We were baptized unto his death. We were buried with him and we were raised with him. So this process of the old man, he died, and not only did the old man die, the old nature die, but we were actually crucified with Christ. And it's tremendous that all our past, present and future sins have been forgiven. And that they were crucified with Jesus. We shouldn't struggle with the old man. We shouldn't let him get up and try and tell us and remind us of what we were or what we did. Even yesterday, it's past.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely fabulous to think that I'm forgiven. Before I was born, I was forgiven. Everything that I've done in the past, everything I've done in as now, and everything I'll do in the future was dealt with, forgiven before I was born.
I think that's a miracle.
It's a miracle, isn't it?
Forgiven before you've even done it.
Yeah.
Because the blood cleansed it, didn't it? And if we weren't forgiven, well, we'd be stuck, aren't we? We've been stuck.
We're really stuck. We've got. It's just fabulous. He uses an example of how sin is dealt with. And he said, if you put a £5 note between the pages of a magazine and you threw it in the fire, what would happen to the £5 note? Yeah, it'd just be ashes, wouldn't it? There'd be nothing left of it. And that's like they've become one, the magazine and the £5 note have become one and burnt together. And that's just the same as when you give your sin to Jesus. He took it on and he died to it and you were died. There with him, there's no record of it, there's no trace of it. It's gone, past, present and future. So what you haven't done wrong yet has already been done away with. So why do we torment ourselves with things when we get it wrong?
This is mine, we've got to renew this.
It's
that's
this
problem.
Renewing this mind, I think another thing is forgiveness, and this really helped me, because forgiveness is something a lot of people struggle with. But actually, when you look at it this way, that everybody, Andrew always used to say and still says, God sees the whole world forgiven. Now, some people have an issue with that, but he died for the whole world, and every man's sin is forgiven. It's whether or not he accepts it. So, if somebody does you a wrong, how can you hold it against them when God has already forgiven them? When perfect love has forgiven them, what have you got to do with it?
If you don't forgive, God can't forgive you.
What then?
Well, I said the other week that I was carrying it for unforgiveness for a long time. If our sins are forgiven, then it's got to be wrong for us not to forgive others.
Yeah.
No matter what they do to us.
sin is sin, no matter, there's no degree of it.
No.
It's, but if we're forgiven, then we've got to forgive.
Yeah, we are.
Otherwise we're not following Christ, are we?
No.
But as well, I just think, well, if the perfect love has forgiven, what am I messing about at not doing, not forgiving? Because what? The only person I'm hurting is me.
That's right. So it's only us that's carrying the burden.
Yeah,
it is.
The person who we haven't forgiven very often doesn't know anything about it.
That's right.
Just getting on with the life,
yeah,
aren't they?
Just
and we've
out,
got that burden.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
The emotion that holds on to unforgiveness is hate.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
hate's a self-destructive emotion.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which,
oh,
is exactly what's happening, isn't it? That's the process.
If you're holding...
Sorry, Bill?
Hate and unforgiveness run side by side, partners.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pride, isn't it? Unforgiveness.
Yeah.
If you don't forgive somebody for one thing, they've got something that you want, or if you don't forgive somebody, this, you know, you've got to look at it like that.
Mm.
They've got something you want, or they're a type of person you want to be, or something. That's
jealousy, I suppose.
Yeah.
As well.
I mean, how many of us have? Sometimes you can hold unforgiveness for a friend, a sister, a brother.
Mm.
God loves that person.
Does.
Mm. He loves that person.
And he's forgiven that person.
He wanted that person in the world just as much as the person who's holding that unforgiveness.
Yeah, it is. It does.
And I think it's marvellous learning about unforgiveness,
mm,
you know, forgiveness and stuff.
Mm.
But it's like what my mum said on Sunday, I thought that was what my mum said, because I, as a young child, it was awful what she went through.
Mm.
I listened to it all, and there's a lot I do remember in my head, and I could understand her.
Mm.
I could understand, and I used to be stood there thinking, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And not able to do anything.
Mm.
And it's amazing when you've gone through that when you hold unforgiveness, you do, it's on the realm of planet Earth, this is what we do, the natural flesh, isn't it?
Spirit is so different, isn't it?
And that when you come to Christ, learning about unforgiveness and forgiveness, and it's amazing how you can just let it drop.
Mm.
And the only way, it's like by reading this, it's educated me.
Mm.
Because I've been able to let these feelings go.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah,
and love that person.
Yes.
It's what I learnt is, it's like you can love a person, you don't have to like what they do, and that really did bless me and taught me.
Mm. I just think it blesses me so much, because I think the most spotless, perfect being in the whole universe says to them, you're forgiven. Well, excuse me, but who am I to say any different?
Mm.
Who do I think I am to count to God? And he's forgiven me. You know, what's that scripture? She who loves much is forgiven much. And we need to acknowledge that being gracious in forgiving us.
Well, if there's two of you and you've got this unforgiveness to your partner or your friend or whoever, like Christine says, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you're both miserable, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Both miserable, unhappy and that. But if just one of you can just keep quiet and forgive, then the other one picks it up and it all goes smooth and quiet.
Yeah. Sowing and reaping.
Yeah. Because it takes two to make an argument.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Can't argue with yourself.
Can some
you?
Try. we were going to work this morning and I saw a chap sat at the side of the road and obviously wasn't in his right mind and he was having a real good old argument with himself. Oh, God, deliver him. The last part was about the prodigal son, and there's some really interesting thoughts in. The elder brother, what rejoices the father's heart wasn't the elder brother. Because the elder brother worked incessantly for the father, but we never read anywhere that he found rest. He was always working, 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 never satisfied.
Isn't that the Lord?
It's his. He does represent the Lord. He represents the Lord. His good works never brought him to peace and rest with his father. He always had to keep working and working and working. The prodigal, he was able to experience the father letting him do everything for him. And that sounds really selfish. But he entered the rest because he allowed the father to do everything. And when the father was looking for him and he saw him and he came, the younger brother came back to the household. He'd spent everything, he'd spent his inheritance, he'd lost the lot. He came back a stinking tramp and just a disgrace to the family in the natural, seemingly that way. But we all know the father embraced him and hugged him. And there's no record of the father ever saying to him, what about all this money you've lost? What have you done with this inheritance? Where is it? Never mentioned it. Neither did he say to him, he didn't sorrow over the money that was gone. He made no question, no remark about him having to pay it back or make retribution for what he'd done. The interesting thing is what he did do, he threw a party. So what were he doing? He was spending even more money on him. And I just think, if that's not a generous father's heart, if that's not my father, he gives and gives and gives and gives.
I think the son wanted to pay back, he wanted to work for him as a servant, didn't he?
He wouldn't hear of it, would he? He wanted to restore him as a son. He put a ring on his finger, a robe on him, and he put shoes on his feet. He just wanted to restore him completely. No questions asked. He just took him and restored him and just lavished more money on him. And I think that is so
good. You're just glad that he were back.
You see, his brother is his brother reacted with pride, didn't he?
As
well,
yes, yeah.
Classic pride.
Yeah, yeah.
There was
unforgiveness there, wasn't there?
Right,
hatred and jealousy.
Just thinking it's not fair. And
see, it's unconditional love. You see, I think about Natalie, and I just think I'd do exactly the same for her.
Yeah.
Might not like what she does, but I'd welcome her back.
Yeah. Yeah. Our God's an eternal giver and an eternal doer, and we sort of base everything on our understanding, don't we? I don't think we realise how wealthy God is, how endless his resources are and how vast his ability is. And how great is his love for us, that he would just lavish all that he does on us, all that he wants to do on us. And if we get nothing else from this tonight, let's learn that God wants to do everything for you. He wants to do everything for your family.
Mm.
He wants to give you everything that you need and more. He wants to lavish on you. He wants to love on you. Because that's the Father's heart. And if we take the attitude of the older brother and get into a a works program, then we're never going to get God's best. We never can achieve it. If we allow Him, if we will learn to sit in heavenly places with Him and rest in what He has done, and whatever, if ever you're challenged with, and every day you'll be challenged with something new, and whenever you are challenged with something new, the very first thing you need to do is to get into rest. Because whatever you're struggling with it, you know, Watchman Nee tells a lovely story about if you try to save a drowning man, whatever he's got strength in him, the fear of drowning will make him fight you. He'll not let you save him, and he'll bring you both down. You either have to knock him unconscious, or you have to go on, get back to the shore yourself and wait until he's absolutely, his energy is fully spent and he's got no strength. And then you can go and rescue him and drag him in. And, you know, if we fight with that old nature and we struggle with situations and we struggle with challenges that come our way, if we struggle with it, it'll bring us down. But if we get back to the shore and we go and get into rest, get to the Father, think, just focus on, He is above all principality and power. He's far above everything in heavenly places. Everything you need, your resources are all there, and it's His willingness to give them to you. So I think we need to go and sit with Him and know that that's where He has seated us, with Him. And I don't know what challenge this week, the devil's thrown a few challenges at me. And for the first few hours, I'm sort of thinking, trying to work it all out. How am I going to do this? How are we going to resolve this? What about this? What about that? What about this? And you do. It's your natural reaction, isn't it? Mm. What am I going to do about it all? And then tonight, just before I came out, I was sitting reflecting on this, and I thought, I'm not going to do anything about any of them. Because I'm going to go now and I'm going to sit on Daddy's knee. And I'm going to let him put his arms around me and I'm going to let him whisper to me, Grace, I'll sort it.
So that's a simple thing, isn't it, you see, to do that. Because God, if you want to sort it out yourself, God won't stop you.
No.
He'll let you do it. He will, because you've got
because
free choice.
Because then you've got to come to the end of yourself, haven't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to realise, stupid, you can't do it.
Sometimes you can get carried away, like you probably did today.
Yeah.
And you're thinking all of this in the end, and all of a sudden you think, oh, I've got to give it to God, haven't I?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Why am I doing this?
We really need to think that whatever challenge the devil throws at you, was it a surprise to God?
No.
Was he prepared for it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has he got the resources to deal with it?
Yeah.
Can he deal with it for me? Does he want to deal with it for me?
Absolutely. But if you don't works and grace, you can't have the law and the grace together, can you?
They don't mix. It's like Daniel's statue. The feet were made of iron and clay, and iron and clay don't mix. That's grace and the law. It won't support anything, it won't stand. It's got to be one or the other. And please don't choose law.
No, it's dead.
Because the dead works. Paul says the law is full of dead works, it's full of dead men's bones, it's no good. It won't achieve anything. But the grace of God, and the love of God, and the provision of God will bring everything that we need. And that's, you know, that the elder son never found rest. He could never enjoy his position because he was always clinging to good works. But the younger son entered into the rest because he allowed the father to do everything for him.
When you come to think of it, I don't want to be doing things under the law because we could never fulfil all of it. So why are we trying to do something we can't do? But we don't know what we're trying to get doing things. We've got to do something. We can't just sit. We've got to do something.
Yeah.
It says in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbour. Love, therefore, is the fulfilment of the law.
Yeah. And Jesus fulfilled the law, didn't he?
Mm.
And he was perfect love. Isn't it the commandments now? Love God with all your heart,
mind,
soul,
and
love your
neighbour
as yourself.
That's it.
That's the
law.
Love God, love your neighbour.
I love my neighbour.
And then that's another. You don't love yourself.
I say I love my neighbour.
Absolutely. But we have to. Helen makes a valid point. If you don't love yourself, you can never love your neighbour.
No.
And some of us. I've had that battle too.
Mm-hmm.
Not loving ourselves,
mm-hmm.
feeling rejected. You know, some people, because of, I don't know, if there's some abnormality, kids are very cruel, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and kids at school sometimes pick up rejection there because of the way their fellow children treat them, you know, sometimes. You get scorned because you're fat or because you're skinny or silly things because
yeah.
you wear glasses and things
it's
like that.
Your confidence.
Yeah, and at
it
that young age, they're very tender and very impressionable, aren't
mm-hmm.
they?
Mm-hmm.
And
it
can and
harm
you
for it can harm some people for life.
Yeah,
going
it can.
Through that.
Mm-hmm.
It can, and but there's no reason why, as God's
no.
children, it should continue
mm-hmm.
to harm us, because we need to know how loved we are and accepted we are in Christ. And how much he wants to do for us and what he has done for us. Because we need to reach for those higher things, don't we? It's a challenge to me that everything, absolutely everything I will ever face, God has the provision for it. But he'll never intrude or invade my free will. If I don't invite him in to sort
mm.
it, he's not going to do it. If I don't know who I am and where I am seated
yeah.
and what my authority and my position is, I will allow these things to niggle away at me.
Mm.
James 4:7 I've put here. Place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil and he will run from
yeah.
away from you.
He will. Yeah.
Quite simple, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. But can you? I can see why in this little book Watchman Nee says, first we need to sit.
Mm.
When you sit, you relax.
Yeah.
And we can relax because we know where we're seated and the authority in which we're seated and the power that is invested in us. And so therefore we can, and the love that overshadows us and protects us and takes us through and shields us. We need to sit in that realm, and when we know who we are
mm.
and the power that's invested in us, we can then start walking in the world, because then you're going to get all the you're going to get bombarded, aren't you, when you get in the world, because you're going to get everything thrown at you. And if you don't know who you are
mm.
and where you're seated and what Jesus has done for you, you're going to come a cropper. You're going to end up falling down. You're going to be struggling with that old man, and he's going to bring you right down. We've got to get all the strength out of that old man so he's not fighting us. And we need to know where the new man sits, the heavenly man sits, and who we are in the heavenly realms. And then we can walk through the world in confidence, in strength, overcoming and victory every situation that he throws at us. And I'll go away and have some thoughts about the walk that is expected of us. But I was chatting with Pauline the other day in the car, and I said, you know, I really wish when I was first born again somebody had taught me this stuff
mm-hmm.
of who I am in Christ and where I'm seated and the place of authority that God has placed me in. I knew nothing of this And
I think you all thought you got to be born again and that, right?
Yeah,
that's all we seem to think.
My sins are forgiven, my soul saved.
And that's it.
And that's it,
yeah.
Wait for God to do it.
I've got
to
take it.
Ready for when the.
Yeah, meanwhile, the devil throws all sorts of things at me, and I worry and I fret and I try and work it out and I run around like a scalded chicken and I wear myself out. And I don't know anything of who I am or what God's achieved for me and what he wants to do or what he has done for me. And
you
I just need to rest in it.
I've said this loads of times, I'll say it again. I didn't have a clue that I could have a personal relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
No idea.
No.
And I just thought, wow. And that's only 8 years ago.
Yeah.
How many more people out there?
There's
lots.
Hundreds, Christy. Hundreds. Thousands.
Mm.
I mean, when you sit and you look at some of these people running about doing good works for God.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get brownie points with him, aren't they? They're trying to score with him. They're trying to redeem his soul. But like the older brother, you can never redeem your soul that way.
I mean, Joyce Mayer's even shared a lot of times. I've listened to her about how she was following with in church, but she was getting no further because she wasn't being taught it.
No.
So what she's teaching out now is what she wants, what she's learned.
Yeah. But Watchman Nee says you can never advance in the Christian life until you first sat down with him. It's the starting point.
You see what you said tonight. It's obviously God, because I've been doing a bit of work about putting yourself in God's authority.
Yeah.
And I've done a number of things. I just found myself writing it all down.
Mm.
So what you've said is what I've been studying, what I've been doing this week.
That's a blessing.
About put yourself in his authority and speak audibly to Satan as well.
Yeah.
Tell him to, Nana's, go away.
Yeah. But the greatest weapon you can use on the devil is that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The old book coming by the blood of the Lamb and
the word
of
God. And it can't, when you speak this, it's like Jesus speaking to him.
Mm.
Do you know something? What I learned the other day, which amazed me, and I thought it just hit me. I've been doing this course with Ray, and we've done it again. And now, if I hadn't done this course again, I wouldn't have realised this, but it's said that Satan can't read your mind. I never realised that.
Because he's not.
And yeah, but it didn't even occur to me. And that was such a blessing to me, because I'm thinking, well, Christ can read the mind, but you know, Satan can't, and I didn't realise that.
Omnipresent, there's only God that's omnipresent,
omniscient,
and omniscient.
Mm. Because the devil's a flesh devil, isn't he?
He
can see, you know, that's why he told you to turn the stones into bread, because they're the only things that he can see. He can't do anything spiritual.
No,
he can't.
You see, it makes perfect sense as well when you're told to read his word, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you're upset and you read his word, he doesn't know that you're upset, he just knows you're reading his word and he'll flee.
Mm.
And that's, it makes perfect sense to me now.
Well, look how Jesus overcame him. It is written.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your example.
Yeah.
If ever I need a word or I need encouragement, and all I do is, if there's something that's encouraged me, I'll just read it out loud.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the devil's listening. And when you read it out loud and you focus on it, it becomes a part of you, and it strengthens you, and it also puts the devil to flight. You're an instant winner.
Mm. Jesus never came just to forgive our sins.
No.
He didn't just come to die for us.
No.
He came to have a relationship with
him.
Mm.
And how are we going to have a relationship with him if we don't know his word?
We can't.
It's all down to this.
God made us. He made man for one purpose alone.
Mm.
Fellowship.
Yeah.
We're back to
the fact of him dying for us was, it's probably not the right thing to say, an incidental, but it was taken care of so that the fellowship could be restored. The fellowship is the most important thing.
Mm.
That's what it began with, and that's what it finishes with.
Well, something else I learnt as well is that Satan hates worship. If you can shout and scream and praise the Lord and all of this, it is frightened to death of it. That's something else I didn't really quite, you know.
He was the worship leader. Mm. He's very jealous of you when you
and
can
so
worship God, because he no
he
longer
it,
can do that.
He wants it, doesn't
he? He lost it.
Makes me want to, I thought, you know, it's amazing. It really blessed me this week, learning
it
that.
It must hurt him no end. So the more you praise, the more you can
Well, it makes perfect sense now,
him
you
a good
see.
Blow, but there we are.
Yeah.
Bill was just saying he was listening to the... doing some of the worship tapes, and he said, do you know, I could sit and listen to these. He said, it really blessed me. So worship does bless.
Yeah.
You just put CD on and sit back and listen to it. You know, I've never done that before, but I've only run through it just to get to know what keys these songs are in.
Right.
Like, and I thought, it's quite listenable, this, isn't it?
It's a weapon, isn't it, worship?
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Judah went first with Jehoshaphat, that's all they did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get your praises up front. Ellen's been sat humming a tune today, and I says, do you know what you're singing? She says, I didn't even know I was singing.
I know, I sing sometimes, I think, oh, what was that song I was singing to before? I don't know, I can't remember it.
You're going to have to write your words down. Then if I catch myself humming, I'll put words to it. Nice words.
They were nice words. It was all about how lovely God is. And if I can't remember the tune he was singing.
I'll probably hum it together.
It was a song that we used to sing when I were a kid. And I thought, how does Ellen know that song? I don't think she'd be... She might have been alive, but she weren't in church with me at that time. But it was a really, really old hymn, and I was thinking, wow, Ellen's humming it. Tune, it's perfect.
And then it was at school, because we used to sing a lot of hymns, didn't we, at school?
Yeah.
I used to love
But you know what? What really grieves me at funerals is when they're talking about how good this person was and what they've done, as if this is going to score points with God. And
they've died in the same.
They've missed it. It's missed. But you know, that just saddens, it grieves my heart, and I think how it must hurt Father.
Well, only good people die if you listen to what.
Yeah, they do. There's no bad ones.
When somebody dies and it's mentioned on television, in the news, and they go to find out what kind of person it was, or you couldn't begin to match them.
No, you couldn't. Superstars, aren't they?
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah. So I don't know if anybody wants to add any more, but that's the sum of where.
Well, it's interesting because when I first got saved, a year or two ago.
Yes, Ellen.
All I used to get was "Be still and know that I am God." And if you read Psalm 46, which I'm going to do,
you do.
You'll get the scenario and the context of where that comes in. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted.
Yeah.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Yes.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Mm-hmm.
which in its context, it's no matter what's going on
around
you, just be still.
Yeah.
When I was at school, as most of you know, there wasn't a right lot of love lost between me and my sister. We used to fight all the time. And in my report one year, I had to ask him what these fancy words meant. And he says, let's face it, Helen, it doesn't matter what she says. It doesn't matter what she does. He says, she's trying to wind you up all the time and just washes over you. He says, and if you can go through life like that, nobody looks at you.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. And it does. I mean, Grace will tell you. The majority of time, it doesn't matter what you say or do to me, it's like, your problem doesn't bother
That's
me.
Brilliant.
I don't let it affect me.
No.
But that was something that I grew up sort of doing. But when you put it into a Christian context, you know, you're being still just to allow God to take over and move in your life. It makes life so much simpler. Because, I mean, I'm not saying that I've never thought, you'll get on my nerves. Because I have. But if you don't let it affect your daily life, because at the end of the day, if you get wound up, bitter, resentful, the only person that's upset is you, because they're not supposed to know that you're upset.
No.
Just thought I'd share that thought. So be still. Go and get on your dad's knee.
Amen.
We'll be fighting to get on his knee tonight. Wait, water's in his eyes. His knee must be big enough.
Yeah, oh
no
God.
No problem holding us all, has he?
No.
He just wants us.
He does.
He just wants us to come running and sit on there and say, hug me, hold me, and let me hear you say to me, I've sorted it.
We're
so
back to seeking him,
yeah? Thank you, Jesus.
But he has, and he's given us everything that we need to overcome everything. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said, and there isn't. The devil has no new tricks.
No.
He just wants to get your soft point, doesn't he? He knows that your trigger. And we have to learn that, well, just don't let him do it. Just don't let him do it. And let God do the battling. He's already done the battling. We're more than conquerors. Anybody, anything else to add?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's same as you haven't got to let people upset you, and that you've got to let that go over your head, because that can get you stressed. If you know somebody's,
if it's a weak point, I definitely
When you stress, it's no good at all, is it?
But once you learn to overcome it, it'll be your strongest point.
Well, we've got, and you look at it as well, if somebody isn't being very nice to you or they've upset you or something, they've got something, they need help. That's what you've got to look at as well. Try and love them with God's love as much as you can. Don't be feeling bitter, get your pride getting in the way. Show them love, it makes perfect sense.
It does it. Love just overcomes everything, doesn't it? Love never fails.
See, sometimes we've got problems, we can't do anything about it with a person. If you've got a problem with them, you've just got to let it get you down.
Yeah.
Can't just got to keep it with God.
Give it to God.
And don't keep taking it back.
No, that's what the danger is, isn't it? But, and I think for a while you do take it back. I know when I've had issues, I've found myself, especially at night, if I've woken up, I've been, it's the first thing that comes to your mind, and you think, just a minute, I shouldn't be thinking this, I've given it to God. And so then I have to quote the scriptures that God's given me and fire it straight back at the devil. And that knocks him for six. I go to sleep and God's in charge again. So, hey, that's a good combination, is it not, Jo?
It is. If the devil fears his most thing to what he wants.
It works.
Yeah.
And you can read. So if you've got a Bible, show him what you want him to read. And then you're back.
Is that what you would do?
I do sometimes. I do sometimes.
It's just what God did, isn't it? Mm. What Jesus did. It is written.
Yeah.
And he couldn't argue with it. It shut him up.
He knows what it says.
He didn't argue with him, did he? He just three times said, it is written. It is written. It is written. So why should we do any differently? We're not going to achieve anything.
Jesus has got the... You see, you've got to know in your heart that you believe it, haven't you? Because God, the devil knows if you're just quoting it, just saying it.
Absolutely. Mm.
So
absolutely.
You've got to know it and, and, you know, believe it sort of thing.
It's the same with everything.
Yeah.
You won't know of your authority if you don't meditate on what God says you are and who you are and what you've got invested in you. You'll never, ever reach... It's the same with healing. And, you know, I'm not there yet. But I need to sit more and more and focus on what God says I am. And I can usually put up a good fight if I focus on the fact that God doesn't have any sickness and he's in me, so how can I have any sickness? And God's word is the final authority. He says, I am the healed.
Mm.
So, devil, can't argue with that.
No.
Body, you can't argue with that. God says, I'm healed, so I'm healed. Body.
2,000 years ago.
You're healed. It's a done deal. It's finished.
You're
healed. But, you know, that's a tough one because when perhaps next morning it starts moaning and complaining and aching and heads banging, you still need to say, I am. Healed, not because I feel it, but because God says it. It is written. It is written.
The more you stand on it, the devil will bring these things.
Yeah,
he will.
Let's
see how we believe it. Yeah. If you really mean it, or if you're just saying it.
The devil used that expression himself, didn't he, in that same conversation? It is written. I only read it this morning. I can't read it. It's in Matthew, a scripture.
Yeah.
It's just it's written in this book. I read it. The devil says it is written, so and so, and then Jesus came back with it.
Yeah,
and it
will give you charge to the angel, won't it?
Do you know what scripture is it?
Chapter 4.
I know that it's more than that.
Verse 6 of chapter 4. It starts with,
for it is written,
he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
It starts at verse 3, actually. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be
hurled. Mm. But you don't quote it is written earlier.
Jesus returns with
man shall not live on bread alone.
Mm.
And then the devil come back with Latin 6 then.
Yeah.
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you.
He's trying to bring down to again, didn't he, when he said to Adam and Eve, did God say, and he said to Jesus, if you be the Son of God, you know, if you don't know the authority, you know who you are.
Yeah.
I think Pastor Joey touched on it on Sunday, that it's helpful when you read in what context a particular scripture is applied. The devil will take things out of context and use them.
He will.
But God wants us to see the context as well that it's found in, so our understanding is complete.
Yeah.
And we're better armed then.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes people take one verse, don't they? But they don't go on the whole. Because I know that with the God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It says it's Paul's talking to a church that supplied all different things for him, so it was for them really. So if you read the one before, and
obviously
all go together, don't they?
A lot of the blessings that are quoted, when you look at the complete, have conditions.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you've got to look at the
whole thing.
The qualifying factors.
Yeah, the devil, he knows the scripture, but he twists it, or he don't quite finish it, or he tries to put another slant on it. We have to bring him back to it is written. You to know your word of God, haven't you?
Mm.
And, it's great because then you can win.
It is written, I am forgiven.
There you are, Bill. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So there is a scripture for everything that you'll be faced with. I'll tell you that now. And it's interesting sometimes when you're challenged with something, you can pick up your reading for that particular day. God will speak to you on that very thing. And you think, you knew beforehand, didn't you, God? You just knew what I needed today when I read something like that.
Down again, but
yeah, it does. It does really think, wow, he was listening. He was there, and he'd already, before I called, his answer was there. But we can never get through life without reading and soaking in this word, can't we? This is all about resting in him.
No matter how long you get to know him, he never ceases to amaze, does he?
No. Oh, no, Roy, he doesn't. I just can't. I'd be God if I could figure him out, wouldn't I? But I never cease to be amazed, and it's just awesome what he can do and what he has done. And I've only got to. We were looking at something the other day, some nature programme. It thrills me when I see nature programmes, because the intricate detail of every little creature and stuff they're finding out about the human body and how it works. And the tiniest detail is there for a reason, and we might overlook it, or it's been hidden from man for many years until they've got new technology and they've begun to discover new things about us, and tiny insignificant things. But without these things, man can't function. And it's just the detail of God, isn't it? He is a very detailed God, and is as interested in creation. He's as interested in you as he is in everything else in creation, and every little detail in your life. Nothing escapes his notice. No word that comes off your tongue escapes his notice. No thought that's in your head escapes his notice. No temptation that the devil's challenging you with escapes his notice. He's mindful and watchful of everything that's going on, and he has the answer if we'll look to him and go and sit on his knee and take from his hand that provision.
I think somebody said that we're not supposed to be sick, are we? Because his body heals itself, don't
yeah,
it? With
they can't understand why it dies, can
no,
they? Because every 7 years it
yeah.
renews itself, your body. They don't understand why it dies.
It's a rather lot of scars.
Sinner.
Battle scars.
Battle scars.
That was important.
So, has anybody anything else before we wind up? We need to pray for Brendan, do we? And
yeah.
Tracy?
I do.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that we need to pray for?
Can we pray for my mum, bless her? She needs some prayer. Tell them what's wrong, my love.
What?
Tell them what's wrong. Why do you need prayer?
I'm aching. I've been aching hard to get up at night with all me. It's all down this side.
She's
just
feeling
aching
feeble.
And aching.
Feeling feeble, aren't you, love?
Yeah, shattered. Probably it's my new diet as well.
But that's working.
But it's working. But I don't feel as if I'm eating enough, do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
I feel as if what I'm eating, it's, you see, it's light.
Eat some more. Can you eat more?
Yeah, I'll have to do.
And there's no reason. I mean, I myself, I've got 3 or 4 things that have attached themselves to me. They're not staying.
No.
Some of the symptoms are disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to be serious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not serious in a sort of bad way, but serious in our commitment that we're going to be set free.
Amen.
It's very easy. I get up in the morning and I take my pills. I take my pills before I go to bed. You saw me just now for my cake.
Mm.
I took my pills. Why should I have to be a slave to the pills?
Mm.
No.
God, in Jesus Christ, has took all my sins and my sicknesses.
Yeah. Yes.
So I shouldn't have to walk in sickness. And the prayer is, Lord, increase my faith that I can put this behind me.
Yeah.
and I don't have to walk in it any longer. Not saying that we've got to be stupid, unless God says to me, stop taking those pills, or unless doctor says, why are you taking them pills?
Mm.
It's not being ridiculous, but
no.
Each one of us have got our own walk of faith. And in fact, sadly, the majority of us in this room right now have got a health issue that without divine intervention, we may end up living with it for the rest of our lives.
Mm.
And he died for all our sicknesses and diseases.
Amen.
So why should I have to live with it for the rest of my life?
No.
I'm not gonna.
No.
I'm not.
I'm not gonna do it. It's for freedom he set us free.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be free. Long
Amen.
Amen.
In the
name
of Jesus.
Amen.
That would be great.
Amen.
Yeah.
Aren't we, Pat?
We are, we are. Yeah. Amen.
Right, we're anointing you with oil.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know why we're anointing you with oil?
That'd be better.
Yeah. We anoint you with oil
James.
Because it's like
mm.
an anointing, isn't
it?
It
is, James said.
So we'll splatter some oil on your forehead just like that.
Lay hands on the sick and they shall be recovered.
And it smells beautiful, this.
Thank
you, Lord.
Sweet smelling savour.
Father, we thank you for Ivy.
We do.
We do.
Precious.
You've
we thank you for her salvation.
Yes.
We thank you for her faithfulness. And we pray, Father, right now in the name of Jesus,
that she rests in you.
That all this weakness and all this frustration will be removed from her life. Lord, that the depression will be lifted. That the fear will be removed. And that her body will come into line in the way that you've ordained it to function. Lord, that you will set her completely free in the name of Jesus, and that her health will be a testimony to Joe, that he might enter into more of your fullness, that as a family they will come to know you. For Stephen too, Lord, that you'll join her.
Yes.
We call you in, Stephen, in the name of Jesus. Primarily for Ivy right now, Lord God.
Thank you, God.
Minister strength.
Strength and health.
And enable her to eat good things. Give her wisdom in what and food choices until such times as she's totally delivered.
Amen.
Tonight would be a good time, Father, but we submit to your timing.
Yeah.
We just pray, Father, right now, Lord, that you will set her totally free because we ask it in your name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, we call upon
Amen.
You right now
Amen.
In the name of Jesus to set Pat totally free
yes.
from this that's plagued her all her life.
Yes.
Oh, Lord God, just push this thing out in
yes,
the name of Jesus
yes.
and command that you let go. We do
Jesus.
Not allow you to stay any longer,
no,
but in the name
not.
Of Jesus, we cast you out.
She belongs to God, not
she
to
is
God.
Not of your property.
No,
she is of the kingdom of God. She belongs to Jesus.
Even the sun sets free
and Jesus
is
set her free. And in that name,
yes.
we come to you, Lord
yes.
Jesus, tonight, in your
Thank
name.
You,
and we ask for freedom,
yes.
that you'll totally set her
yes.
free.
You're
and pray
the
prayer of
yes.
And we will accept
Jesus.
Nothing else but freedom in that
name
of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you for Pat's life and for her testimony.
Yes.
But Lord, the devil yes. seeks to put stumbling blocks in her way.
He's not
and Lord, we know
you.
And we're going to stand with Pat, Lord,
yes,
that tonight will be her freedom. That tonight
she
will be free out. So we tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, you get out,
Amen.
You don't come back,
Amen.
And you stay away.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
It's time. Your days are numbered.
Amen.
So in the name of Jesus,
name
you're free.
Of Jesus.
Amen.
And we just pray, Lord God, that you'll help
Precious
Pat to continue to read her word,
yes.
and to get involved
yes.
in
Amen.
Things of the kingdom,
yeah,
and that she'll be able to open up her mind.
Yes.
And that when the enemy puts things in a place
yes.
and tries to lie
in
to her,
Jesus
tries to
name.
Trick her
mm.
and cause her to get wrong thoughts, we just pray, Lord
Thank
God,
you
that you'll just be a peace and a comfort. Just
okay.
her tonight, Lord, that she'll be able to sit in heavenly places and that
Amen.
She'll be able to sit peace.
Yes.
And that she'll not be troubled in her mind any longer.
I
and
I
things
agree.
That have troubled her in the past, we take authority over
we
those.
Yes.
You will not control. The past is past.
It is.
But we have a glorious future in
we
you,
do.
Lord Jesus. And that's what we're speaking over Pat tonight. That she'll come into that realisation of the glorious future that she has in you.
I agree.
And we thank you for that in your name.
Amen.
Just encourage you, Pat,
yeah,
yeah.
Thank you.
To stay in the Word. You need to spend a bit more time, I think, reading in the Word and getting God's words in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when things come to your mind and trouble you and try and lead you on a wrong path, just tell them. You only need to tell them two words. Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not your God. You don't have to listen to any God other than your own. And if God didn't say it, you don't want to know. And if God's not told you, you don't need to know.
Mm.
If God don't tell you, you don't need to follow anybody's instructions. Because you're not following them, you're following in God.
You are.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. And I know it's in my heart.
It certainly is. It's
in my heart.
And
it's the
best place to start.
Mm.
And that, you know, sometimes when you get saved, people get saved in the head first.
Mm.
And it's getting saved in your heart that's the important thing.
Yes.
Mm. But then your mind tries to take over because your mind's your body. So your body's not happy about it, it wants to take over. You try to tell your mind to shut its face.
Yes.
I know it seemed to be dwelling a bit on it, you know, and I know that's not good for me.
It's easily done.
Yeah, so I've just got to divert things.
It's growing.
Yeah.
It's growing.
Yeah.
Just come round to me.
I mean,
you've come back into fellowship quicker than was expected.
Yeah. And it's just building on that.
Yeah. I'm a bit nervous, but I feel safe here, you know.
You are safe.
I do feel
safe
here.
Oh,
yeah, I know you do.
We've
found
out.
But we cried out.
That's fine.
Cry.
I know.
But even if you make mistakes with us, even if you make mistakes and you mess up, everybody in the room still loves you.
I know.
We do. And ultimately, we want to see you free from this.
I know.
We're all
going to
be free.
It's lovely to know that you all care for me. And that, you know, it really is. And I'm not on my own. You know,
you're not on your own. You never will be.
No. Just got to, you know, keep fighting.
You need football.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 18.
Oh, yeah.
From verse 31, at the end of the verse, it said, "If God is for us, who is against us? He who didn't spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, and who intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord."
What verse was that?
It's Romans chapter 8, from verse 31 to the end. But when the devil was throwing me bad thoughts, that's the very scripture that I overcame him with. And it's like John said, until I believed it myself, I couldn't win. But once I knew that I knew that I knew that the word of God was true, and I spoke that to him.
You need to do that.
He'd gone.
Meditate on it.
You can't. I just used to say to him, "You can't separate me from the love of God.
No
demon in hell can separate me from the love of God.
You can't work against it.
You hang on to God, and you cannot."
I think I'll think Patty Knowles, if she's stuck and she don't just shout Jesus, and Jesus will help her. It's powerful, the power in that.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
You know. Just the devil's in the land.